Amen. Well, it's good to be back here. I didn't realize we were trying our best to figure out how long it has been, but I guess the last time we were here was in 2018, and took him a long time to decide if he wanted us back or not. But we're here. Amen. How many of you were at camp? Raise your hand. Oh, yeah. Boy, that's incredible that you have that facility and as close to the church as you do so people can come. I just think that's fantastic. We just had two families in our church went together and bought 80 acres. And they have one house. One of the families has a house there already and one is building a house. But they're giving the church 5 acres so that we can kind of have little outings, you know, like this and go out there. And so we're excited about that. And God's been mighty good to us. I'm going to ask you to, if you don't mind, if you could kind of put me on your prayer list. I've got, not sure exactly, probably the end of this week or maybe first of next week we'll find out. But somewhere in the next 2 or 3 months, I'm going to have to, I had surgery, which I'm sure I told you about if you were here a few years ago, but I had a abdominal surgery and it was an emergency thing and then had to have reconstructed. And now it's going to have to go back in. And what they're thinking is going to have to be what they call a wired reconstruction of my stomach. And so hopefully it's nothing real serious, except that it is to me. So I'd love for you to pray about that, that we've been trying to search out the right people, the right place to do it. And the first 2 or 3 that seemed to be the top-notch kind of people that could do this kind of surgery basically told me they didn't want to fool with it. You know, no, we'll recommend you go to somebody else. And so we found somebody in Houston, Texas, and that has agreed, at least so far, once I get some of the tests down there to them. So pray about that this is the right place, the right person to do it. And then pray, you know, we've got to get some things worked out because we'll probably be in Houston for, I don't know, at least a month that we'll be down there when that takes place. So pray for us with that. And all right, I'm just going to jump right into it. What I'm going to talk about tonight is more of a lesson, I suppose, although I always say that and end up preaching. But it's more of a lesson, and it's a lesson that I had to really struggle to learn. And so, and when I say things like that, it doesn't mean I've mastered it. It means I learned it. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Okay, I've learned a lot of things over my lifetime and those 110 years in the ministry. I've learned a lot of things, but I don't know that I've mastered any of them, except being a husband. And I had to, you know, because I had to help her along. Amen? If y'all believe that, you don't know our relationship here. She's the incredible part of this ministry. But what I had to learn helped me in life, in the ministry, in marriage. And it's something tonight that I really want to hopefully do it. I'll just say it this way. My wife, when we first got married, and almost, you know, for all these 43 years of our being together here and married for almost, well, I guess in about 2 weeks or so, we'll be married 43 years. And then she would say to me, she'd say, "Rob, your greatest gift is discernment." And I didn't even really understand what she meant at first. I was like, you know, everybody sees what I see. You know, I mean, everybody. And I used to describe it. She would say, "Why do you think that?" I said, "It's because I got these red lights and yellow lights that go off in my head. And when I see a situation or I, you know, see people, immediately I see caution lights or I see red lights or I see into the eyes of someone and I see a need or I somehow see a body language." The kids at college used to hate me because I worked discipline for a few years. And they would sit down and tell me these incredibly great stories. And I get through and say, "Wow, that was great. Now would you like to tell me the truth?" And they would just stare at me. But she would say that to me, and You know, as the years went by, I started to realize that a lot of people did not see the same things that I saw. It caused me a lot of grief even in meetings because they would come up with some great idea and they're all talking about this idea that's right now, the here and now, and my mind's already going down here about, you know, about 3 years down the road, and I would see a bridge out down the road and I would say, well, you know, hey, before we do that, I really think this is where this is going to end. And, you know, they get mad at me. Hey, can't you just get with the program? And I'm like, no. You know, I would struggle there. But I found out with this thing called discernment, what happens, there's a flip side to it. It's a wonderful thing because honestly, especially when your girls are dating, amen, it's a great thing. Because you just, you look and my girls would come to me and say, Dad, this, you know, so-and-so has asked me. I said, okay, tell him to come by you in college, you know, come by my office and let me talk to him. He'd come by and he'd leave and my girl would come back. What do you think, Dad? No. And, it really helped. But one of the things that happens when you have discernment is there's a tendency on the flip side to have a negative, critical spirit. And here's why. You have so many times you've sort of sized somebody up that you automatically think you're right. And so you start to evaluate or you believe what your brain tells you about that person when you don't have facts, when you don't have evidence. And one of the first steps that I started down this road to learning this reality is when my preacher 35 years ago said, no man can know another man's heart. And I had enough experiences where I thought for sure this is what I read in the situation, and it wasn't quite what I read. One of them was my own daughter. And I mentioned that at the family camp. Now, so it was this negative, critical spirit. Now, how do I shut down these lights? Now, I'll be honest with you, I think they're still good because the difference is now instead of labeling somebody or coming to the decision that this is, you know, I was a police officer and, you know, I would talk and pretty like this, I would say, you know, this guy is lying. This guy's a thief. You have to have truth or evidence or facts to back that up. But I got so into that mode that I was totally convinced that what I saw. Now, how do I use it now? I use it as caution. That means I cannot know your heart, but the yellow light in my head tells me to walk softly and observe a lot. Keep my eyes open. Now, I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. I'm going to just read one verse there, and then we're going to look to Luke chapter 6. And we're just going to kind of work through some verses here. But Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says this, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. But it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. You see, what I found out was that my heart would become full of negatives. My wife would say to me about a situation or a person, she'd say, Rob, you got to be positive. And I'd say, I am. I'm positive. This is no good. You know, the truth is that it was hurting me because I would see the situation and I would become negative out of my mouth about people, about situations, about direction. And so I knew that if I didn't get control of this, truth is, it came to a point in our, and even in our marriage, where I realized that my negativity was beginning to affect her. And I say negativity is just, I saw things and I would verbalize, I don't trust him, I don't believe that, I don't, you know, and because something inside of me would just be flashing inside of my brain. And sadly, here's the big problem. So many times when you're right enough times, that you start to really convince yourself you're right all the time. And so I realized that what was happening was, is that what was coming out of my mouth was, is that it was what I put into my heart. Now, if we're going to have the right spirit, a positive spirit, which that's what we need. And I knew she had an incredibly positive spirit. And therefore, our girls were coming up with a wonderfully positive spirit. And I came to the realization that if I destroy her positive spirit, I'm going to destroy their positive spirit. I got to change. I got to get a control of this. I got to figure this out. I've got to change my perspective about things. And so let me just have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, I pray that you bless here tonight. Lord Jesus, I ask you, please help me as I go through this incredibly, it's a simplistic message, but Lord, it was transforming to me. And Lord, I pray, please, that you help me to say it. And Father, I ask for your spirit again. I ask you to please put your arms around the people in this room. Be a mighty hedge of protection to us. And Lord, I ask you to turn back every evil that might try to snatch away the truth. Lord, there's some out here, maybe not that many, but there's some out here that struggle with what I struggle with. The struggle with seeing the negative side of it. The struggle with seeing the bridge out rather than the good road to the bridge. And Lord, I pray, please, that you help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, honestly, this will affect a marriage, but it'll also carry on to our children. It's like bitterness. You say, root of bitterness, whereby many be defiled. Well, this one is much like that. It's not exactly a bitter spirit, but a critical spirit will defile. It'll carry on down. And now, the following are some things that I began to do, and it's so simplistic, but I want you to go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And go to verse 13, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, one of the things that I had to do at the very early stages when I started realizing that there's a problem here, and I don't know if you're like me, but I also, my wife would say to me, Rob, you are your greatest critic. I would condemn myself. And when I realized that I had said things and I had been critical, that I had done things that hurt her, that became hard for me to deal with. It became hard for me to carry. And there was always this heart of regret that I was doing. And if I slipped or if I said something, I think, you know, it goes back to, you don't have to raise your hand, but if, you know, think about it. If you deal with anything that's just kind of that weakness that just kind of haunts you and you just want to get over it, but somehow it comes back and it frustrates you so much. Well, here's what I had to do, and I just hope this will be a help to you. I had to let the past be the past. I cannot change the past. I can only confess the past and learn from the past. But if I live in the past, it will negatively affect the present and the future. I had to let the past be the past. And I'm going to tell you, that's really hard for me to do. We played some ball out there. You know, we played some softball out there. I grew up that my life was either on a farm working or it was playing ball. And I could not, the biggest thing, if anybody played baseball, we played softball, you played baseball. You know, if you get up and you strike out, what do you got to do the next bat? Let me help you. You got to forget it. I couldn't. My dad would tell me, son, you can't go back and change that last bat. Let it go. Because I couldn't stand the failure. But you know what I had to learn in sports? I had to let it go. But I wasn't letting it go in life. I wasn't letting it go in my own spirit. And I would remember my failures. I remember the things I said. I remember the things I'd done. And then God taught me, listen, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And watch this. He puts it as far as the east is from the west. He remembers it no more. Then I got to be like him. I got to remember it no more. I got to let the past be the past. And if we don't let the past be, and let me just tell you, in marriage, let me help you. Ladies, please, let the past be the past. Yes, amen. You know what I'm talking about. Have a bad day and I come in from work and she's upset and say, what's the matter? And it's something 15 years ago, she just, it came back up. Now, she never does that, but I'm just telling you that I've heard that happen. But you got to let the past be the past, and I had to let the past, I had to let it go. Because there's no going back and changing that, but being consumed with that will destroy today. Now, here's what I did. I kind of started following a procedure. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And again, it's extremely simplistic tonight, but this is what I had to do. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, that's a command. It's really hard to be critical while you're rejoicing. It's really hard to look and find something wrong or something that you see a problem in someone else when you're rejoicing. And he said, always. We're supposed to be rejoicing all the time. Rejoicing. And listen, that will keep your spirit from becoming a negative spirit or staying a negative spirit if you just start rejoicing about the good things of God. Has God been good to anybody in here? And rejoicing is the joy and joy and joy again. Finding joy in life must be continual. The moment we lose our joy, we're on a downward spiral of negativity. And we've got to make sure that we intentionally find something to rejoice about. And right now tonight, you ought to rejoice. If your family's sitting in here tonight with you, rejoice. If your spouse is sitting beside you, rejoice. You say, well, you don't understand what was happening on the way here. I know marriages, I understand, but you still ought to rejoice you're here tonight. Look at verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation is calm, patient, control. In the trials and stresses of daily life, God says, stay under control, stay calm. Part of my problem is I was very much to react. You know, I react instinctively. I read immediately, and those things would happen. And God says, you know what? When something happens, stay calm. Keep control. In the trials and stresses of daily life, God says, stay under control, stay calm. Those around you and who know you should think of you as a person of patience. And I'll be honest, in my early days of my marriage, in my life before I got married, I was not known as a person of patience. I was known as a person to react. When we first got married, I was driving down the road and two guys were fighting and I slammed on brakes and jumped out to go break it up. My wife's like, what are you doing? We were in a coming out of a football game one time and coming walking out, and people started to fight. And I'm, you know, like, they don't know me, and I'm going to take care of the problem. I react. And I had to learn that I've got to slow down and take things calmly, not be reactionary. And why? Because the Lord is at hand. Look at what it says now. Watch this, folks. This verse tells us that God is everywhere watching everything. Amen. And you know, when we react improperly, when we get mad, listen, this is a terrible story, but have you ever been, well, you probably never done this, but I was on a phone call, trying to make a phone call, and I was really frustrated with somebody. So I made the phone call, and they didn't answer, and so I left them a voicemail. And then I proceeded, after I left them the voicemail, to explain to my wife all my frustration. The only problem is I never hung up the phone. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's a bad situation. Try to explain that one. Try to call them and say, hey, I left you a voicemail. I don't think you really need to listen to it. Why don't you just go ahead and delete it? Do you understand that just makes them listen to it? Now, have you ever been griping, complaining? Maybe this may be more close to them, griping, complaining about something because you got upset in the moment. You're coming in the church doors and you got upset. Somebody said, somebody did, or you and you got upset and you started just on and just really tearing into somebody when you realize over your shoulder they're standing listening to you. Y'all haven't done that either. Okay, so I'm telling you, I had a lot to learn here. So, or most of us, I'm gonna catch you on this one. Most of us, and all the world's changing, but most of us, married couples, are not gonna fight in front of everybody, right? How many of you are willing just to go ahead and have your fight right in front of anybody? Okay. Most of us are not gonna just fight in front of everybody. Most of us are not going to really want to fight in front of anybody. But you're driving up to church, and you just tell me if this has ever happened to you. And I see these perfect couples out here, but have you ever? Oh, I'm looking at you. You're driving up to church, and on the way to church, y'all are just like, and finally them. Now, while you're like this, he's, and you drive up into the parking lot, and man, it's just, you're fit to be tied, and you get out of the car, and there's Pastor, and he says, hey, Brother Dan. And you go, hey, brother, how's it going? Ain't God good? You know what? You know why we act better when the pastor is present or when somebody else is listening? Because they're at hand. And somehow we think that God can't see through the roof of our car. Somehow we think he just can't see what we're saying and doing because we're just letting it go. He can't see in the window of our house. But the Bible says, listen, let your moderation be known because the Lord is at hand. He's saying, you better keep your attitude because I'm there. I'm right there with you. Then it says, be careful for nothing. Careful is anxious about nothing. What should I do when I feel anxious, nervous, frustrated, fearful? What I'm talking about is how I had to learn to do my best to have a right spirit. Because a right spirit's going to affect my wife. It's going to affect my children. It's going to affect the people that I'm closest to. And then it's going to permeate to everybody else. What should I do when I feel anxious, nervous, frustrated, fearful? We feel this way often when we struggle wanting to change an unchangeable situation. Now, what I'm describing now, he says, be anxious for nothing. You know why we get anxious, really? What happens is we've got a situation that we want to be different. We want it changed, but we can't change it. So we get anxious about it. I'm having to deal with it right now a little bit. I understand that barring some kind of miracle, and I would love for God to perform a miracle, I'm going to have to go back into a hospital, and they're going to have to split my gut open again. They did an MRI, and I said, what's the MRI for? And the person doing it said, well, this is really not for them to see the muscle. This is just for them to see all your insides so they know where to put them back. I'm like, what? I thought you just going to go back in here and sew it all back together better. You're not going in here and messing with it. That can cause you to get anxious. Get a little nervous. And you know why? I told her coming over here, I said, it looks like it's going to get postponed probably September because I'm not going to be able to get all the details done in time. But, man, there's a part of me that doesn't want to do it, but there's part of me that wants to just, like, let's get her done. I just want to get it done. Now, we feel this way when we struggle wanting to change an unchangeable situation, desiring to or being determined to change. Listen to me. When we are so determined to change an unchangeable situation, it'll create frustration and anger, and it'll reveal itself in lashing out at the ones we love most. Now that's, again, we've just got to accept what God has. Understand, when I say unchangeable, it's unchangeable by man. God can change anything. Amen. But it's unchangeable. I can't change it. So I've got to allow that. I've got to back off of that and not be anxious in that. Now, what's the correct solution? Here's the solution. We're just working down this little passage. It says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Only God can change the unchangeable. Normally it changes when you change. Listen to me. This is what I found out. When I can't change the unchangeable, and I've been in a lot of situations where I just felt like we're going the wrong way. This is not right. And I've been in meetings and things, and I'm thinking, this is hidden, and it's out of my power to change it. It's out of my power to make a difference. And I start to get frustrated. And what I've had to learn is that God may not change the situation, but he can change me. I don't mean change me to say that it's a good situation, but change my heart and keep me from being angry and frustrated and bitter about it. During the unchangeable, frustrating, discouraging situation, you got to spend more time with the Lord. I was going through a horrible situation, and it's been many years ago, 15, 20 years ago, and I had no answer to it. I had no answer to change it. I could not change it. I could not make a difference in it. And so my only hope to keep the right spirit, and I knew this was my problem. I knew if I wasn't careful, I'd lose my spirit. And what I did was I began, and I mentioned to you at the family conference, I went and began a fast, and I ended up in a 30-day fast, and I was doing that because God, I knew I had to spend more time with the Lord. I had to get closer to him if it was going to control this old negative spirit. Amen. I had to. The result of spending time with the Lord, praising the Lord during an adverse situation leads to, look at verse 7. This is all sort of a recipe. It leads to verse 7, and it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Look what he said. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If we will flee to God in the unchangeable situation, if we'll flee to God in the negative situation, when we flee to God, here's what he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I was in the most adverse situation almost up to that time of my ministry, and before that 30 days was over, I was at the most peace I think I'd ever been in my ministry. or in my life. In everything, pray and beg God while thanking God for his grace, his mercy, his patience and goodness with us, to us and for us. Praising and thanking God brings peace to our spirit. The result, the peace of God, which passes human understanding, will keep or protect your heart and your mind. And that's what I needed. I needed God to protect my heart and mind so I didn't utter things that I should not utter, so I didn't do things and say things I shouldn't think, or even think those things. Hey, it'll protect your heart and mind from confusion, for God is not the author of confusion. It will protect your heart and mind from the fear, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. The result is a spirit of peace, a peace beyond human creation or human understanding, and a peace beyond human design. It's of God. Following this procedure, this formula that I began to do through this little passage, it led me to verse 8. In verse 8, I looked at it and I thought, this is how I sustain this spirit day by day. Look at verse 8. If you want to have the right spirit, moment by moment, day by day, here it is. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, God brings us through this little recipe he's got, and then he gets there and he says, look, I'm helping you have the right spirit, but I'm going to give you in verse 8 how you continue it, how you have it day by day, moment by moment. How do I have the right spirit day by day? Well, I got to quit. Can I tell you, this passage right here eliminates about 99.9% of social media. It eliminates 100% of the news. It eliminates a whole lot of the garbage out there that we devour. Because it's not, listen, most of what we hear and see, it's not true. They don't put truth in the news, folks. It's not about truth. It's not honest. Whatsoever thing, that's like, listen, you violate virtually everything here when you listen to one politician speak for 5 minutes. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, they don't even know what justice is anymore. We don't need to listen to it. Whatsoever things are pure, oh my goodness, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report. Hello? Hey, you know what? Listen, you go to the, I'm not going to ask you if you do, but used to, there was a generation that watched the evening news. And watch this. The first thing they would do is say, good evening. And then they spend the next hour telling you how it's not. Now, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What do we think about all day long? I have a guy in my church that he's a really good, solid guy, and he really felt led to become a police officer. Came to me to talk to me because I was, and I told him, I said, man, that was 40 years ago. That was a different world than you're talking about right now. I said, but you got to know this is what God wants you to do. Because every day of your life, you're going to be faced with negative and negative and negative. And he's got 2 more weeks. He finishes the academy, and I think it's, what was it, Joe, about 16 weeks or maybe 16 weeks? And I think it's 24 weeks. 24 weeks, and we were, you know, when I was in the academy, it was 6 weeks. He's like, okay, here's a gun. Go good. So, matter of fact, I worked for 6 months on the police department, and I hadn't even been to the academy. I was on 6 months on the police department before I even went to the firing range. It's a good thing I didn't have to actually use that gun. But So anyway, he did these weeks. He's got two more weeks left. And I was sitting there with him, and I said, well, it's about to start. I mean, you've been in classes and you've been in all. He said, you know, the guys in the academy, there's a lot of really good guys and good spirit. And he says, there's good Christians there. I said, man, praise God. I said, but you're not going to be with those guys all day. You're going to might be with one of them, or you might be, but you're going to be every negative in the world is coming at you. I said, now, let me tell you, I can't stop that. But I'm going to tell you, every day when you get ready to come home, you don't drive straight home. You drive to the nearest park, or you drive someplace where you can in peace take a walk for 10, 15 minutes and do this. Amen. Change your thinking. Spend time rejoicing in the Lord. Spend time praising God. Spend time intentionally thinking about things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good report. And if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I said, man, please take time before you go back and carry all of that negativity, all that garbage that's been dumped on you. Don't carry it in the house. You leave it out there with God. Now, none of this will work if we don't do it, and that's with Philippians 4:9. Look at 4:9. We're about done here. And y'all don't have a clock, so it ain't my fault. Verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. You know, this verse is the answer to the Christian life. So many of us, we know, but it doesn't do you any good unless you do. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard in me, what? The things we just read and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Not a God of fear, a God of turmoil, not a God of anger, but the God of peace shall be with you. Now, what he says here is, do what I've just told you and the God of peace will be with you. The truth is, we need to commit, desire to have the right spirit in our homes, the right spirit in our marriage. And I say again, if you struggle at all the way that I struggled, I believe that discernment is a little bit of a gift. I believe it is a gift, but I mean, I'm trying to say, I'm not saying that I have great discernment. I'm just saying that I have a little bit of that gift of discernment. It's not going to go away. I've just got to make sure that I use it the way God wants me to use it. I've got to keep the right spirit about it. If you're living in turmoil, anger, and depression, God has and is your solution. He just gave us a little recipe in the scripture. How to cleanse our mind, how to keep our mind right, how to keep our spirit right. God says, think on these things. But here's what happens, though. In the process of time, as a result of disappointments, through the failures of others, or maybe our own failures and our own disillusionment, we fail to remember the things that God told us. We fail to rejoice. We fail to praise. We fail to think on the good things. And I'm just telling you, I believe that's part of what God was sort of saying in Revelation when he said that we need to remember. And I believe that you need to, right now, married couples, if you walked in these doors tonight with a little contention, let me tell you something that would help you. Remember. Remember the good things. Amen. You know, our spirit comes down to what we choose to remember. That's really what it comes down to. What you choose to remember. You can either choose to remember every fight you ever had, every promise that was unkept. You can choose to remember every, she can choose to remember every time that I said something critical about some situation, because that's what was in my head, what I saw, the direction and the things. And I get so frustrated because I can't stand where we're going. I can't stand where it's going to take us, and nobody can see it. And so I'm railing. She can choose to remember that, or she can choose to remember all the good and wonderful times in our marriage. I think there's two, but she can choose to remember those. You know, young people, it's you too. You can choose to remember. You can either choose to remember that mom or dad got on to you when it really wasn't your fault, but you still got punished. Or you can choose to remember how good they were to you when you should have been punished. You can choose to remember how much they've loved you and provided for you, how much they've taken care of you, how much they've done for you. I'm just trying my best to say tonight, we need to remember. Marriages start to falter and even end simply because one or both fail to remember the good times and the goodness of God. So I'm just saying, stop right now and think of something you can praise God for. And that's, in its simplicity, that's my message. It's a little pattern that God gave me to bring myself out of a critical spirit. But what are you going to do? Let me help you. If right now, when I said, think of something that you can praise, think of something, remember something that was good, did you? Did you start to search your mind for something, or did you just let it go? I'm going to ask you right now, and I don't know how y'all do Wednesday nights, but I'm going to ask you right now, I want you to just bow your heads, and I want you to just intentionally, how many of you are married? I'd like for you to raise your hand. If you're married, raise your hand. Okay, I'd like for you to intentionally put your hands down, and I want you right now to think of some wonderful memory with your spouse, some wonderful event or some special, special time. And you know, you might even think, I remember just riding in tonight, the sweetness of our conversation. Now I'm going to ask you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Are you remembering something good? Would you raise your hand? You say, I'm remembering right now something good. I'm not sure, but I'm not sure there's as many hands that were raised that were married that were just raised. Are you thinking, remembering the good? Let me ask you this, and be honest, you can put your hands down, but let me ask you this. Are you here tonight and you say, I'll be honest, as you said that, what keeps forcing its way into my mind is not a good memory. It's something that was said to me that hurt me. It was something that was done. It was something that, even though you said a good memory, this one just keeps trying to force its way into my mind and won't allow me to even go to the good. I want you to be honest now, and nobody's looking around, but I want to have prayer for you. But if that's you tonight and you say, I'm going to be honest, there's this bad memory that keeps trying to keep me from even thinking about the good. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. There's hands going up. That's honesty, and I appreciate that. Let me pray for these. And Father, I pray that you bless these that raise their hand, because this is the old method of Satan. He does not want us to just follow this principle, to whatsoever things are true, or whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure and honest and just and good report. He wants us to keep those out of our heads so that we will struggle in our spirit. And Lord, there's some that raise their hand. Father, I pray right now through your name, dear Jesus, and through your strength and through your power, that you turn back this evil that tries to, the lies of Satan that try to enter into the minds and try to keep us from having that positive spirit. Please help them tonight. And there's some, I'm sure, that didn't raise their hands, or some that maybe even are right now. There's more thoughts in just trying to think of a memory. The tendency is to dredge up that negative memory. I pray, please, that you'd help them, and Lord, that you would give them strength to block that. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless her in the next few moments. I want to say, with the heads bowed and eyes closed, I truly believe, and this is something else that I've asked God for. People will tell me that sights and sounds and memories are implanted in the brain and you can never eradicate them. You can never cleanse them. I just want to tell you that they may be tough, but they're not tougher than God. And God can do anything. And so I go to God with anything like that. We're not above some image coming around a corner in a car and there be something there that we don't want in our head. You think that's stuck in my head forever? No, I got a God that can cleanse it. Amen. And I'm going to ask you right now to pray and say, dear God, I'm asking you to cleanse my mind of this memory that keeps trying to come into my head, keeps trying to get into my mind. Even as I want to choose to think of something good, the evil, the hurt, the wound comes back into my mind. And I'm asking you, Lord, please cleanse it from my mind. Now, you got to believe God can do it. Praise God. Praise him right now and thank him that he can and he will. And just ask him to go through your mind and cleanse every little crack and crevice of your spiritual mind. And just, whether this sounds weird or not, but I'll ask the Lord to go through with his blood and his brush and just go through the brush of the Holy Spirit and go through every little segment of my mind and wash it by the blood of Jesus and cleanse it out of my head. And there are things that happen in my life that I wish I never had happened, but they are not there anymore. They're a blur. They're a cloud, but I don't see them anymore. And I'm asking you, please stop and praise God for what he can do and what he will do, and then ask him to bring the good memory to your mind. He told us to remember. He even said in Revelation, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. He wanted them to remember that first love. And married couples, that's what he wants you to remember that first love.